Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, intersecting with your life every day. We are live right now on the air and online, so you can be on the air or online and talk about the things you want to talk about. The number wide open at 844-32-BASIC. Again, 844-32-BASIC. If you have a question or need direction for the tough issues of real life, call now. Again, that's 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and now here's Bob Christopher, and I understand you had a very, very nice conversation with Janet Mufford today.
I did. I was on her broadcast. She does a daily broadcast on a number of stations across the country. We were actually talking about love and God's definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Really enjoyed the conversation, but very glad to have Andrew Farley with us today.
Yes,
Andrew, welcome.
As always.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great to be here.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving and with your family?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, I went home to Virginia and hung out with family. It was great.
We have so much to be thankful for, don't we, as believers in Christ?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the best thing going on the planet, and we happen to be smack dab in the middle of it.
I love how you put that. That's outstanding. Well, we're talking about Jesus this month as we celebrate his birth and what that means to us. And, you know, one of my favorite passages, and I think for many people, is John 1:1 and then verse 14 as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's always this question that's out there, and it's been out there since Jesus walked the planet. Who is Jesus? His identity, you know, just escapes so many. But the Word of God is very clear. Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. And then he became flesh and dwelt among us. That's who Jesus is. And boy, that means a whole bunch to us, doesn't it?
Yeah, Bob. You know, you get to this season and you think about the compatibility God had with us. I mean, for him to come in human flesh is pretty incredible. And then you think that, wait a minute, he's come again to dwell among us, in us, as believers. And so Christmas really spells compatibility. Compatibility of the God of the universe with us humans running around this planet. And I just love that we don't have to, you know, get out of the way or let it be all God and none of us. Instead, he's decided to participate in life with us and be united with us in Christ. And, you know, you just think about, it reminds me of that Old Testament story of the burning bush. You know, the fire did not consume the bush. You've got this compatibility with the presence of God. And that's what the heart of Christianity is, Christ in you, compatible with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Andrew. And that is so true. And we see that really in the Christmas story itself, when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And then you're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the great story of the gospel, Jesus Christ dying to take away our sins so that he could come and be with us, not only here and now, but forever. And that is the good news of the gospel. Let's talk about it on Basic Gospel today.
Today, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open right now, and we'd love to hear from you. Got something you want to talk about? This is your best opportunity. Plenty of time on the clock, so give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Austin, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay. Welcome.
Hey, Bob. Maybe I won't be so nervous this time. Good to hear you guys.
Well, thank you. Great to have you with us again.
Yeah.
You already said what I wanted to talk about, John 1, 6, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I wanted to make one quick statement, and I believe you guys believe that life begins at conception. True?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do too. Okay, at the Annunciation, when Gabriel came to Mary and made the Annunciation, and she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, and be it unto me according to thy word. And she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. I was having a discussion with a Catholic brother of mine, and I was telling him at that point the Holy Spirit came. And tell me, I'm just going to put this out because I don't like to ask a loaded question. I believe that the Holy Spirit came to a natural egg of Mary and impregnated her in a natural way. And she was pregnant for 9 months, gave birth to the Word that became flesh, the Son of God and the Son of Man that redeemed man from his sin. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. And then if I've got time, I want to ask you something about Joseph's lineage. Go ahead.
Okay. That is a loaded question. And, you know, the Word of God doesn't go into the detail of that. You know, my personal belief is that Mary's womb was just a borrowed womb, that she just offered up her womb for God's use. Andrew, what do you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think there had to be any sort of thing that we would call, you know, intercourse in a human sense. We're really talking about fertilization, and God does miracles. And part of this miracle is that, you know, there was no sex that took place, but that there was pregnancy despite a lack of intercourse. And I think that's part of the miracle that, you know, God the Creator can do what it wants. And in this case, he was able to cause that egg to be fertilized and cause a birth, you know, an incredible birth, a miraculous birth, the birth of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we think in human terms and we think, you know, how could God do that? How could there be a fertilized egg without some sort of process preceding that? And really, I think that's part of the whole miracle.
See, that's exactly what I was telling him. It didn't require, Joseph had nothing to do with it, but it had to be through her egg, sir. Otherwise, we couldn't have the lineage that led up to Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary somehow had to be kin to Joseph for the lineage to come out of Judah and up to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as we see in Matthew 1, mm-hmm. because he had to be fully man and fully God. Otherwise, nothing could have happened like temptation in the wilderness. It couldn't have, man couldn't have been redeemed by a man that lived a sinless life and shed mm-hmm. his blood and received all the sin that of mankind upon him. Do you see where I'm going with
yeah.
that?
Well, Clay, I'm surprised that a Catholic would argue with you about that. Most Catholics would hold something closer to your own opinion. Because, you know,
a lot of people believe that it was a rented womb, that all it was the Holy Spirit came and formed Christ in her womb, okay? And if that's the case, mm-hmm. let's eat, drink, be merry, because the more we die. It had to involve the egg of Mary to bring forth the lineage of the bloodline.
Well, Clay, I'm just going to mm-hmm. jump in right there, because the Word of God doesn't really speak to that. You're speaking to something that the Word of God doesn't speak to. We know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. The Word of God declares that. The how of all of that is beyond what the Word of God has to say. So instead of getting into disputable matters, and that would be a disputable matter, let's just leave that and recognize the truth that God became one of us. He dwelt among us, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, we can have life everlasting. Well, let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Eduardo. Hi, Eduardo.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you as well. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yes, sir. Yes, Pastor.
How can we help you today? What's on your mind?
I have a question regarding Mama Mary. Is she the Queen of Heaven? And my second question is, the Apostle Peter, is he the first pope?
Well, Eduardo, good questions. And no, Mary is not the Queen of Heaven, and Peter was not the first pope. Peter was a disciple of Jesus, one of the 12. He was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That simply meant that he was there when the gospel was delivered to each people group. So he was there when the Holy Spirit was given to the Jew. He was there when the Holy Spirit was given to the Samaritans, and he was there when the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles. He witnessed all of that, and he was the one, through his proclamation of the good news of Jesus, saw that door be unlocked and life given to each of these people groups. But no, he was not the first pope, and Mary certainly isn't the Queen of Heaven.
Okay, can you prove it in the Bible? Any chapter? I don't know the Bible, but can you find any verses?
Yeah, it's a case of lack of evidence. It's not a case of finding passages that would speak against Peter or against Mary, but really, there's just nothing in the Bible that says anything remotely like that. So, you know, what we find is that within certain veins of what some call Christianity, you know, like Catholicism, you're going to find people that have made a bigger deal out of Mary than really should be there. And the same thing with Peter. You know, when Jesus talks about the kingdom being built, he's not building it on top of Peter. Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. And so, you know, even Peter picks up this theme in his first epistle. He says that we're all living stones that we're being built up into God's house. So, you know, we're all on equal footing. We're all living stones in Christ. The idea that the church would be built on top of Peter doesn't make any sense in light of all of the New Testament, which says the church is really built in Christ and upon Christ. And when it comes to Mary, I mean, all you have to do is work your way through Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way through all the letters of the New Testament, and you're not going to find any single verse that is highlighting Mary as the Queen of Heaven or anything remotely like that.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, Eduardo. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Well, let's go to England and talk to our friend Saab. Hi, Saab.
Hi, Saab.
Welcome.
Well, hi, Bob Davis and Andrew. Thanks for your ministry again. I got a question today. Some pastors claiming they are the spiritual fathers. Is that right?
Spiritual fathers in the sense, in what sense are they asking that? Well, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the relationship that the Bible talks about. You know, Timothy, I think Paul, you know, kind of had a special relationship with Timothy. He was the one that brought the word of God to Timothy and assumed a role of a spiritual father, but within the body of Christ, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul talks about that in Galatians. He said there's no Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We're all just brothers and sisters in him. And I think that's the relationship that we need to really recognize as the one true one as far as our relationship one to another.
Right. So in a church, the senior pastor, you know, they're not spiritual father for the believers in the church. Then they can't claim it like that.
Well, it describes a pastor's role as one of being a shepherd, and I think that's the real role that a pastor plays. Someone that shepherds a flock. Someone that points them to the real spiritual food that is in Christ Jesus. I know, Andrew, you pastor a church in Lubbock, and you know, do you see yourself as a spiritual father to those folks, or a shepherd?
Absolutely
leading people
not.
to the you know, to Jesus Christ himself?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, who is our father? Our father is our heavenly father. Our spiritual father is God himself. He's our Abba Father. And so I think it's really dangerous to start looking to humans as our quote spiritual father. You know, even when Paul says that sort of thing to Timothy, it's done in a very affectionate way. It's not done in a doctrinal way where, oh my goodness, now we all have to find spiritual fathers, or people need to be claiming to be our spiritual father. That's very dangerous. I think it can ultimately end up in a big authority complex and a lot of manipulation and that sort of thing. You know, really, as Bob said, I mean, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and certainly we can find people who come alongside of us and encourage us, even mentor us to some degree, but they're mentoring us by reminding us to look to Christ. We don't look to them, we look to Christ. And so, you know, what does a father do for a child? Well, he molds them and shapes them and disciplines them. And, you know, that's not man's role, that's God's role. And so, you know, no one is our spiritual father except God himself.
Thank you. That's what I told you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Saab.
Yep. Thank you so much. Another question quickly. Revelation 2:5, you say, I will come and remove, let me grab that. Remove your lampstand from its place. What does that lampstand mean?
Yeah, well, the lampstand, you know, I mean, it lights, it's holding a light. And so, you know, in Revelation, we're finding a group of people, a church in a particular location. Some of them have lost sight of their first love. They've forgotten what it's like to focus on Christ. And so, you know, he's telling one church, be hot or be cold or be something, would you? I mean, please stand for something. Have an identity. Don't lose sight of your focus. And in the same way, when he talks about removing their lampstand, it's not that saved people then lose their salvation. That's not the context of it. The context of it, Saab, is really a church that can't be light and a church that can't be salt if they're not focused on the one who is light. I mean, who is the light? Jesus Christ is the light. I'm not the light, and you're not the light. We're simply, you know, something that holds the light within us. And so we have this treasure in our earthen vessels, but the treasure is Jesus Christ. And if you lose sight of him and aren't depending on him and trusting in him, then there's not going to be a witness. There's not going to be a way for others to see Christ in us. So, you know, God's not going to give a position of authority and a position of influence and a position of effect in other people's lives if they're not centered on him. And I think that's really what it's all about. It's certainly not at all about losing your salvation. That's an impossibility, given the fact that we're forgiven for all of our shortcomings. We're forgiven for our lack of focus. We're forgiven for all of our sins. So salvation is not in question, but our effectiveness certainly is.
Does that help, Saab?
Yeah, I understood that. We're not going to lose the salvation. But it's a lampstand mean. So I will come and remove your lampstand. So that means we can't do the ministry. Is that the mean? Or
yeah, well, it's like, you know, imagine if I were
delightful.
Yeah, imagine if I were addicted to alcohol and drugs and substances, and then I, you know, everybody knows that about me, and I say, but hey, wait a minute, this Saturday, come hear what I have to say about Jesus. Well, who's going to care about what I have to say about Jesus if I've got my dependency on something else, and they can clearly see that? So there's no fruit in my life, there's no light in my life, and so what influence or what effectiveness will any person have logically on this planet unless they're leaning very hard right into Jesus Christ and trusting him to be light?
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah. We're going to go talk to Eugene listening in Brooklyn in just a moment, but first want to remind you of a new resource that we have. You know, sometimes life is tough. It can hit us really hard and hurt us very deeply, and in those times, it's hard for us to give thanks, but, you know, that's what God calls us to do. As Paul wrote, we're to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, of course. And if you're struggling right now and feeling overwhelmed by life, we have that new booklet containing 42 hope-filled truths that will overflow your heart with thankfulness. It's called Do You Know Your Identity in Christ? And it's yours free to read online, to download, or you can order hard copies from basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Do you know your identity in Christ?
Well, thanks, Bob. We are going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, my brothers in Christ. How are you brothers doing? And happy Thanksgiving to you, belated Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
What's on your mind today?
Okay, I'm going to be quick, and I'll take your answer off the air. We know that Jesus did not speak on situations like abortion and things like that. Right. But my thing is, if we look back in Genesis 38 with the situation with Judah and his daughter-in-law Tamar, and when her husband died, would Judah told his other son Onan to sleep with her to have a baby? And what he did was wicked in the eyes of the Lord, because the scripture says he let his sperm fall on the floor because he didn't want to have a baby with her. And it says the Lord killed him for that wicked thing that he did. So I'm just saying, does that relate? Could we look at that and think anything on God's perspective on miscarriage? Not miscarriage, but abortion and contraception and things like that?
Well, Eugene, I think it's pretty clear from the Word of God, just from the beginning to end, that we're a pro-life people. You know, God said, "Don't murder," and that's what we have to deal with, taking the life of another person. And as believers in Christ, we're pro-life. Why? Because Christ came so that we who are dead in sin might have life. So I don't think we have to really try to find a whole lot of support verses to figure out our position on that. I think the Word of God is very clear from beginning to end. I mean, God so loved us that he gave us life. I mean, that's what we see in the garden, and we see the incredible effects of sin, that sin killed us, that when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. And that's exactly what God said would happen, that sin would bring death. And that's our problem, death. And that's why Christ came, so that we might could have life. So we're pro-life. And I think that's important for us to realize. And I think the overwhelming evidence in the Word of God speaks to that we are pro-life. Now, many folks will get into nitty-gritty things about contraception and all of that, and when we try to make cases for one position over another, and then we fight about it, and I don't think God has called us to that. I think when a baby is conceived, that's when we protect it. So that's how I would answer that, Eugene. But I appreciate your question today. Thanks for calling.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob and Richard and Andrew, I understand that Giving Tuesday was a resounding encouragement to us.
It was a wonderful encouragement to us, and we want to thank all of the folks that gave a generous gift yesterday. We had a $15,000 challenge. A foundation had given us a grant. It was a grant that they wanted to see matched on yesterday's Giving Tuesday program, and it was matched. And so we thank all of the people that joined with us yesterday to give a gift to help us continue proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and pointing people to the new life that is available in him through his resurrected power.
But it would be a good thing to keep the giving going, because we need it month by month.
And, we do. And that's just basically to prime the pump for year end.
Sure.
So if you were unable to give yesterday, that doesn't mean you can't give today or tomorrow or any time between now and December 31st. But we do need to hear from you. If this program has ministered to you, has been a blessing in your life, give back. so that others can be blessed as well. Think about somebody who needs to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about somebody who is lost and needs salvation, and give a gift accordingly. Yeah. So that this gospel message can reach those ears and bring new life.
Yeah. You'll find the prominent support link at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And Merry Christmas, everybody.